This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Knowing is Knowing. I'm your host, Rashad Young, and as always, I appreciate you guys tuning in to a brand new episode. In today's episode, I sit down with Kirby Rabulous, a devoted father, disability advocate, and the heart behind For Gotitude. Kirby opens up about what it means to be a parent to a child with a rare genetic disorder and how that experience reshaped his understanding of love and the mental health journey that came with it all. This conversation is raw, real, and full of strength. We talk about grief, joy, and the weight of the invisible battles and how Kirby found his purpose in one of life's hardest seasons. If you're a parent, caregiver, or someone who's learning how to carry the pain and purpose in the same time, this episode is for you. Kirby, thank you so much, brother. This is truly an inspiring episode, and I hope that many people find a lot of understanding in what it means to be a man of purpose, no matter how things are thrown your way. God bless you, brother. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Until next time, peace.
Get straight into it, man. Well, thank you so much for joining. I'm always super excited to connect with guests and really learn about them, man, their stories. I mean, I think the whole point of this platform right now with me, especially these conversations, is to humanize people, right? We have people that do different things in different places, but I think it's really important to understand their stories. So my first question for you, good sir, is who are you to the world?
Yeah. Thanks, Rashad. Thanks for having me again. My name is Kirby Rabulous. Married to my better half, Chelsea Rabulais, and we have two young boys, Harley and Porter. Harley is six, he'll be seven in October, just finishing up his first year of kindergarten. He's neurodivergent, and one of the reasons why we're talking today, Rashad, and kind of the reason why I've started a business around fatherhood, and I'll talk about that in a second. And then our youngest, Porter, almost 5 years old, going into kindergarten. We live in Glenview, Illinois, just northern suburbs of Chicago. We moved from the city to Glenview for our son Harley, and that's just a little background on me, man. And originally from New Orleans, and been in Chicago almost 20 years, which is kind of crazy to think about as I talk about it.
Wow, how do we jump from New Orleans to Chicago before we get into the rest of it? That's an interesting jump. I actually did a year in Chicago last year, man. So I'm always glad to connect with folks who are from the city or around there.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Yes. So that's a story in itself. But yeah, long story short, Hurricane Katrina. We all remember that devastating hurricane that came to the New Orleans, Louisiana area, and you know, obviously changed thousands of lives, including mine. I was lucky to make the best out of a horrible situation, Rashad. Devastation and so forth. I was working for a national employer at the time, and I was like, hey, my two best friends live in Houston, Chicago. And like, oh, well, we have actually availability for both. I'm like, well, the two prior summers I visited my buddy in Chicago and Wrigleyville and everything. I'm like, that's an easy choice. I'm like, okay, got the blessing from my family and moved up here, drove up to Chicago. I'll never forget on a Thursday, 14 hours straight with everything I could pack in my car.
Wow.
And my manager at the time called me. He's like, hey, got some guys going to the Cubs game tomorrow. You want to go to the Cubs game tomorrow? I'm like, sure. So get to Chicago after 14 hours of driving, totally hallucinating. I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. I got here safely. You know, back then you just had to go to a bank and open a checking account and everything. I had to went to Chase, set up a checking account, went to the Cubs game, kind of got my bearings that weekend. And then Monday I'm driving to a new office in Chicago a month after Hurricane Katrina comes. And I'm like, this is like the most surreal thing ever. It kind of just hit me, and I'm like, what? Yeah. And then almost 20 years later, man, here we are.
Man, well, hate to break it to you. I'm from St. Louis, man. So I'm a Cardinals fan by nature. I know But I do think Wrigley Field is nice. I like to give credit when it's due. When I did my year there, went to a couple Cubs games. I'm like, I understand why they're fans now. Wrigley Field is really such a beautiful. I mean, Chicago's a beautiful city. I miss it from time to time, but Wrigleyville, Wrigley Field as well, just a beautiful place, man. So, okay, so talking about the story about this fatherhood experience, man. I think it's been really cool to connect with people and different backgrounds and stories, but as you mentioned, you said you have a son that's neurodivergent, and the work that you do, what inspired all that?
Yeah, man, for sure. So, our son Harley, missing from the gate, Rashad, missing typical milestones out the gate, and before you know it, he's in, several therapies at 8 months old, trying to figure everything out. Before you know it, we have a ro Harley has a roster of 14 doctors, and we're trying to say, hey, what's going on? Like, I mean, it was my wife and I working full time. This is 2019, about 6 months before COVID, and we're just like, our life just flipped upside down within about 2 months. But COVID comes. We have our second child, Porter, in June of 2020, early COVID. And then August 18, 2020, we get our was our D-Day. We get Harley's diagnosis. We did a full chromosomal genetic testing. And the geneticist called us, like, hey, guys, Harley has a very rare genetic disorder. It's called Pitt-Hopkins. About 15 people around the world have this, and it's relatively newer, so there's not a lot of information and support and so forth around. We're like, okay, so Rashad, what that means is basically it's a either a mutation or a deletion of its 18th chromosome, and it just causes havoc. So everything you and I take for granted, walking, talking, feeding yourself, standing up, etc., right, has been a struggle and challenge for Harley. We are very blessed. He's a very sweet child, and he's made a lot of progress through conventional, now conventional modalities, and that's therapy, modern medicine, homeopathic medicine, spirituality, and all kinds of stuff. And he's done really, really well. We're really blessed. And so, post-diagnosis for a couple years, Rochelle was just like this victim mentality, like, why Harley? Why us? Why me? Like, this is BS. Like, I can't, I couldn't, it was just hard to obviously rationale everything. We're like, oh my God, what are we dealing with? And then we moved quickly after that to the suburbs to be in a better school system and a different home for Harley and everything. It was just really rapid fire, always. Plus COVID and, everything else going on. So, for a couple of years, man, I was just like muck and mire. My health was deteriorating. My marriage was suffering, right? Everything, it was just not right. In the majority of my life, I've been a pretty happy-go-lucky, optimistic person, just like you and I talking right now, and I kind of just surrendered to the universe, if you will. A little serendipity started coming into play, where I started having mind shift opportunities and paradigm shifts, and started talking to people that really helped me get back to, or started getting back to what I wanted to be, or what I wanted to be, the kind of best expression of myself. And then along the lines, my wife Chelsea, she's like, "Hey, this is your calling. You need to go help other fathers raising children with disabilities. There's really nothing comprehensive and inclusive really out there for fathers. Mothers are really great at finding their tribes naturally, organically, but fathers, we're stoic, we're tough, we're protectors. We can't be vulnerable. We're dudes. Like, the whole thing, the whole societal barrier." So I'm like, yeah, you know what's right. So one thing led to another. Last summer, I just started kind of putting out in the universe, started talking to people, like, "Hey, this is what I'm doing." And everybody's like, "Oh, Kirby, that's a great idea. Let me introduce you, so and so. Oh, that's a big gap. Why don't you go talk to this nonprofit? Oh, why don't you go talk to this investor? Why don't you go talk to, this school district?" And before you know, I'm like, "Oh my God, I need to go set up an LLC. I need to go get a website going." So last fall, just organically, it was just kind of a blessing. Like, all these things just start happening, these interactions, these conversations. So I'm like, "All right, somebody's trying to tell me something." So, got the organization going last fall, if you will, and things have been great. And it's been a phenomenal perspective to connect with fathers, families, school districts, nonprofits, foundations, tech, venture capitalists, mentors, and so forth. And just the need and the receptivity for an inclusive community for fathers and children with disability has been very well received. And it's just been kind of a connection piece ever since. And I'm, this is about 7, 8 months into it, Rashad. Just now we're starting to really like start making impact for fathers, nationally and also internationally as well. And that's kind of the plan. So Show up as who you are. Show up as who you are. Be vulnerable. We all have heart and souls, right? And come as you are, and let's meet you where you are, and let's essentially help you become the best version of yourself, so you get the best life, irrespective of your situation. Be the best husband, best father, and let's help you out and find clarity. And so, yeah, just give you a lot, my man. But I'll.
No,
That's it.
that's one that's beautiful, man. I mean, I think, yeah, you mentioned a couple of things that's coming to my mind. I mean, one is the receive the news, I'm sure, of something of that nature, with a child, especially a rare condition at that. I'm sure that is life altering in itself. So that's just one experience, I'm sure. And then I'm sure, like anything else, everything else around you starts crumbling in a sense. Your relationship, like a lot of things that I don't think we take into consideration. When we do have partners, when we have kids, it's like these magical what if moments. Like you hear about the stories, but when it happens to you, you kind of like, no, that would never happen to me. Like, what are the odds? And it does happen. And like you kind of mentioned, like the shift of removing the victim mentality. That's tough, man, because you know, there's a lot of people that work with kids with a whole bunch of different needs, or live with kids who have needs. Be working as a counselor, and also not at a high school level, but also like in a clinical area. You know, I got parents that are dealing with that now, and I sometimes sit there and I'm like, I don't even have children, let alone children of that experience. And so I can only imagine how difficult that can be, especially with a kid that young. You're trying to make sense of it, and you're also probably trying to empathize how they're making sense of it as well. So no, I think that's a beautiful thing. And I think the one area you mentioned is in fatherhood. You know, we don't really get a chance to talk about these things as men. I think that's why a lot of my content has shifted towards that. Not because it's just only for men alone, but it's just kind of like we do need to kind of change that narrative on creating that safe space emotionally, man. Because it's only so long you can be stoic, man. At some point, life's gonna, as my mom always tells me, life's gonna hit you in the face. And at some point, you gotta face your realities. So, it's a reminder that we're human beings at the end of the day, which I think is the most important thing. So I guess when you started to do this, what has been the number one thing that's been maybe surprising that has came from fathers in regards to this information that you've been trying to work on?
It's been interesting. The fathers I'm working with or speaking with or engaging with and so forth, some of them are not ready for help, if you will. Some of them, but hey, it's maybe not ready to accept it. And I'm like, you have to be ready for acceptance and so forth. And they not like their denial whatsoever, but like, oh yeah, everything's good and we're fine at home and this and that. But I know you peel back the onion one layer. I know the situation, right? So either want to and look, you want to pry, you don't want to get too deep. And then there's other fathers like, hey guys, hey Kirby, and I'm so glad you started this platform. I've been looking for something like this. Let's have a conversation. Let's peel back the onion. And some situations are extremely, extremely complicated, as you can imagine. Some are not, and it just kind of depends on the spectrum of where they're at, if you will. And again, this whole platform is about being open and being honest into your I love your content, Rashad, because going to that, it's about fatherhood and helping them out with tools and suggestions and ideas and tough good questions and tough questions, but also showing them clarity. But it's also the platform I'm growing is around, let's change the narrative around men in general, right? I get like in the past where like all the history and wars and all kinds of stuff, right? Men had to be bravado and they had to be tough and so forth. But I think masculinity today, as we go to 2025 and beyond, yeah, that's a part of that. We always have to be the protector and the providers, all that kind of stuff, right? But I think there's also another part of it where we have, like you said, we have a heart and soul. We need a vulnerability. We have to open up, because if we keep on caging that stuff in, it's going to blow up. It's going to blow up in our faces at one point, either with a relationship or career or life or friends or whatever it might be, right? So to really tap that is critical. And then also a spirituality piece as well. And not like it's Catholic versus Judaism versus Hindu and so forth, but there's a greater consciousness play that's been very helpful to me that's really helped us develop it. So I'm kind of weaving that all in together. But yeah, so I think I kind of went on a tangent here, but sorry.
You're fine.
But it's been interesting to see that really the fathers are kind of all over the board when you come in. And it's also wonderful to see that, hey, some of them raise their hands like, hey, I'm looking for help. I'm here. Where do we start? Type of thing, which has been great. It's
Yeah,
been great.
no, I think that's, again, there's so many layers to that. I mean, I don't know if you follow a lot of people on social media. It's always a guy that I always say is an influence. I will forever say it. His name is Jason Wilson. He's out of Detroit. He originally started a originally as a he does martial arts stuff, and it's for the origination of it is for black boys to get into martial arts, especially from the inner city of Detroit. And the reason why I think that's important is because he always emphasized building that comprehensive man, like a man that is stoic, that can protect, but also is emotionally open and vulnerable as well. And so, like, there's another guy too. It's this older white gentleman. He has like this beard and he wears a cowboy hat. Like, I follow his stuff all the time as well. And he talks about they're talking about the same things essentially, like all the layers that we have as men that we are truly not being our fullest self until we truly open up. Like, one of my favorite books, I'm sure you're an avid reader as well. I'll ask you in a second. It's called The Way of the Superior Man by David Deda. And it pretty much is I mean, saying his last name wrong, but it's like this guide and principle through manhood, like how to be a man, understanding men better, understanding women, like a whole bunch of different aspects. But I don't know what God was saying to him. I don't know what he was taking when he wrote this, but he wrote it in such an elegant way that I think every man should read that. I'm actually rereading it myself because I think obviously as life goes on, and these new experiences, you learn that there are so many different layers to us become better as men. And I think again, what you're doing, the work that you're doing, especially, is always a need because again, we don't really talk about children that struggle with any sort of issues, especially neurodivergency, and a rare one at that, because you don't usually think about like autism or Down syndrome or something like that, but you don't think about all the other complexities that comes with that. And this is happening on a day-to-day basis that people don't necessarily mention. So again, the work that you're doing is truly phenomenal. I am curious from a scientific standpoint, if you don't mind, what are some, let's say it's a new emerging family, like you obviously found out as you all were starting up with your son. What were some signs that you noticed that there might be something different about him?
Yeah, good question, man. So typical, milestones, and the biggest one was just, sitting up by himself. Like, all right, typical babies are sitting up by themselves, unsupported about 6 months, and it was just like, okay, this is not going. And he was like really relaxed and like not a lot of ambition for playing, and he was a really just a sweet child. And but he was just very relaxed and chilled. And like, all right, in my heart of hearts, we knew something was up. I was like, okay, everything's fine. He's gonna catch up. He's gonna do his own thing and just maybe just progress a little bit later. So it was pretty early on that we had some suspicions, and unfortunately, our initial pediatrician in Chicago kind of failed us. She didn't really help us out, like, hey, you should look into therapy and so forth. She wasn't very proactive with us. She was like, okay, yeah, like we don't know, kind of thing. Or like, you work for Northwestern University in Chicago, like a renowned hospital, like everybody knows it. Like, what's going on? We're so taken back and perplexed. So we start seeing outside of therapy, and then we found out by the graces that our neighbor also had a has a daughter, neurodivergent. He's like, oh, by the way, there's a state program, and by the way, this is a state program for every state. It's called early intervention or some similar type of naming convention where the state provides services to your child's 3 years old. And we're like, oh my God, wish we'd known this, 3 months ago. So that was a blessing. And then, at 8 months old, Harley was in m multiple therapies, but it was several things quickly. Like, well, all right, something's not adding up here. Even though I was trying to keep the house at bay and keep us happy and like, hey, he's gonna be fine. But we knew something wasn't right.
And so another question I like to ask as well is like, how were you able to find any sense of composure during that time? Because you are eventually, not eventually, you're essentially viewed as the leader of the household. And the reason I ask this question is because we don't really talk about that a lot. And I say this in the kindest way, like motherhood is difficult. Like I never will take away motherhood at all. I think there's also an emotional understanding sometimes where when moms need a break. But we don't necessarily talk about the emotional toll that can happen with men when it comes to certain stressful situations like this. Like, how are you able to find the composure that people often are hoping that you maintain?
Yeah, great question, man. So, the day we got the diagnosis, it was so surreal. Like, Chelsea gets the call. She's like, "Hey, Kirby, this is it." And I'm like, "Whoa." 5 minutes later, I had to go on a really big customer call. So I didn't have time to process it.
Yeah.
And I had to go on this big customer call for work. And I'm like, "Okay, do it." And then that night, I was just like, so like, I was in denial. I was like, "No, that didn't happen." Like, I was like, "No, that didn't happen. No way." And then next day, I called the Genesis back. And she's like, "Yeah, this is a situation." She's like, "Don't expect much. Don't have many expectations. Like, here's some places where he can go live when he's older." And I was like, "What?" I'm like, "What are you talking about? Like, no, like, go, F off. Like, no, like, we're going to defy expectations here. We are now exhaust. We're going to exhaust all options and resources to give Holly the best life ever." And that's been pretty much pedal to the metal since. So, to your point, the composure piece, I've almost like, we're actually, my wife and I were talking about this last night. We've almost haven't had time to reflect a little bit. Like, at times I've been emotional about Harley and this and that, and for sure she has too. But like, I never just had really a time to sit down and just soak in it. Like, holy crap, this is what we're dealing with. Like, it's been just like nonstop since that. And in a way, that's been great because he was so young with diagnosis. Luckily, some people don't get diagnosis till we have children 5 or 6. But then it was like, all right, we're gonna figure this out. School system, therapies, whatever we need to do to push the envelope. So, great question. It's we never really probably just sat there and reflected because it's been just nonstop ever since.
Yeah, but the reason I asked that as well is like kind of a follow-up piece is like, oftentimes I can imagine that family members and friends definitely don't understand. There's kind of a, I won't say there's an empathy problem because there's only so, it's only, you can only feel so sorry for so long. But I think the problem is though, it's like, maybe not in this case. I just don't think there's always enough people to have their hands on deck that's willing to be a resource. No, it already takes a village for it to help a child, right? But I would think in this situation, it takes more hands on deck to assist those in this space who become, I guess, more together in a sense of, if I'm making sense. Like, did you have you maybe if you've talked to fathers about this, have you noticed a struggle with fathers feeling like they don't have enough outside support in a process like this?
Everybody says the same thing. Like, family and friends don't get it unless you're actually living every single day. So spot on, Rashad, you're spot on. It's like, luckily for us, our close family on both sides have been very, very supportive and been there and helpful, right? But they don't, and nothing against them, right? They don't live it. And friends, they do their best, right? Some, but they don't understand the impact, the trials and tribulations, the challenges and so forth, and everything you have to go through on a daily basis. And again, look, Harley's a blessing, and he's made tremendous progress. He's just a really sweet kid. So there's a lot worse cases out there, but we have an uphill battle, no deal about it. But it's just, hey, that's why I created my community, selfishly also for myself, right? To get connected to other fathers around the world that we can talk to and, talk just like we're having Zoom conversations, Rashad, now, like to have that connection, people understand it. And that's a beautiful thing to do that because that's really like, man, we're really peeling back the onion now and making connections. So,
Yeah. And then my other follow-up question. I'm sorry, my therapist brain's kicking in. I think about the younger son.
gotcha,
How
yeah.
does that navigate as well? Like, how do we find the balance within that? 'Cause I think about families that have maybe, like 4 kids and 2 of them are neurodivergent, right? And then it's kind of like those 2 younger kids aren't really, also they're forgotten about in a sense, but the attention kind of shifts. Like, has it been a struggle to kind of find a balance with that at times?
Yeah, great question. So one thing that we've done, I've actually written some content on it and everything recently, is that luckily Porter is a really bright young guy and he understands that Harley's different. And we talk to him, and communicate to him as best as possible, like, "Hey, Harley's gonna grow up differently, right? And he's unique in his own way and he has his own gifts and his own talents and so forth, but he's gonna grow up different than most children and so forth." So that's communicated. We communicate to him a lot. Luckily they've gotten much closer as they've grown up a little bit, which has been great, and they have a really cute relationship. And then the other piece is we're very close-knit family, which is wonderful, and we're always going to keep it that way. And we also try to do things, and we do things on the weekends, like together, of course, quite a bit, but we also try to have one-on-one time with both of them, to make sure, we try to balance out as much as possible, even though you know, sometime just during the week and so forth, there's things for Harley we have to do that's more involved.
Yeah.
You know, Porter's now in like four different sports and so, you know, so like kind of, you know, which is great. And he's loving it and he's progressing, his, you know, in a neurotypical way. So we do our best, but I try to tell, you know, fathers and families, communicate in best as possible and, you know, simple terms and whatever it might be, and spend time individually if you can, based on your situation.
Yeah. No, I mean that's beautifully said. I think that makes sense. Again, it's easier said than done. Also, again, on the outside in, I'm always naturally curious because I know what is I can imagine what is required when you're trying to navigate kids around, especially around the same age. It'd be a little bit different if it was an age gap, you know, like if one was a teenager or, you know, one was little. But when they're like step by step in age, you know, kids they ask questions, they try to figure out things, and it's always cool to see at least the kids that I've worked with when they know a sibling has this or that, like how much honor they have in being their brother or sister or defending them, almost in the sense like a security if anybody says something crazy, like they're gonna do something, right? So it's always great to see like that type of close-knitness, even with something that is unique, and for them to grasp at such a young age, because you know, as a kid, you just have many questions. And as parents, I can imagine you have to try to answer that as best as you can for them to understand. Because they're going to keep asking, they're going to keep asking
Absolutely.
over and over. What would you say is your ultimate goal with all the stuff that you're doing? Like, is there a big dream of this, or is it just continue to build awareness with what you're doing with fathers and neurodivergency?
Great question, Rashad. And I'm still kind of figuring out some of the objectives for the company, to be honest. We're 8 months into it and really just starting to scratch the surface with impact. But the biggest thing is, I know, you know, one out of six families in the world have a neurodivergent child. And that could be anything from, you know, like slight ADHD to extreme things. So it's out there. That's 100 million people that's impacted by something that could be a child or a little bit older, right? So the whole goal, the mission, right, is to provide just a platform for fathers globally to come to, right, to be themselves, be vulnerable, and so forth. And there's no like, oh my God, we have to get 100,000 followers or got the, you know, it's nothing like that, really. It's all about making impact
Sure.
and driving families to have better lives together, irrespective. So if that's one family or that's 20,000 families, which I hope it's obviously larger because of the greater impact, that's the goal, right? But with technology and so forth and the ability to connect with people around the world, and I've done that already, which has been amazing in a short period of time. I want to keep on doing that and getting the message out and connect with creators like yourself and collaborators that are doing good things, because there's a interesting kind of narrative changing around the neurodivergent space, which is so underserved, as you can imagine. But there's some
Yes.
really great technology coming out soon. I've connected some people that are brilliant people that are coming there. There's some venture capitalists that want to get into the space. They're actually investing in companies in the space, and they're really trying to change some narrative. So it's obviously early days, and, you know, paradigm shifts of this magnitude take some time. But it's a really interesting time, especially when political figures are saying stuff that's just silly, that they have no idea what they're talking about. They grew up with a silver spoon, right? So in a way, it's ridiculous, but it also
Yeah.
gives us a platform to change the narrative, because people don't know what they're talking about. But once we get elevated and, you know, support other nonprofits and people that are doing great work, which is amazing. There's so many good human beings behind this stuff. It's amazing, and it gives me hope for humanity. But there's an opportunity to start changing the narrative. It'll take some time, but we're going to do it.
No, and I believe you're all gonna do it. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of things are still really early. And with new discoveries, there's always people who have pure hearts to try to make that change, man. So the fact you're already doing that, you're definitely going to be connected with the right people, I'm sure of it, if not already. And then also you're in Chicago, so the network alone will, the city alone will definitely put you in a position. I have two more questions for you. First question: what would you tell Kirby 10 years ago about Kirby now with all the information that you know?
Man, that's a great question. You know, I'll be, geez, this is crazy. I'll be 46 in 2 months, which is wild. I'm like, I don't feel it. Maybe I look it, but whatever. But 10 years ago, what I know now, like, hey, buckle up, bud, and get ready. It's gonna be a wild ride, but I feel like it's all meant to be, even though some days, Rashad, it's so hard and so the twists and turns and the trials and tribulations and so forth. But none of this is by accident. I think Harley has a greater purpose to help other children, other people, and that's more to come there. But I don't think God makes mistakes, right? But just to get ready, get buckled up, and things are gonna fold way differently than you ever thought, but in a good way.
Yeah, you know, actually, I have two more questions. I'm sorry, because you mentioned you're in your 40s. I didn't know that. Being an older father, has that taught you anything different that you would have thought being a younger father would have? So, like, when I think of fatherhood, most fathers, you know, they're usually your late 20s, early 30s. But your first one was when you was in your 40s.
Yeah, it
What do
was
you?
30, actually 30, 39 when I had Harley. Hey, bud.
Ah, what's up, buddy?
Corey, you want to come say hi? It's Rashad. Don't say
He
hi.
came right. Does he have red hair? Is he a redhead?
Yeah, he's right here. Yeah. He gets it somewhere on Chelsea's side of the family, her lineage. I think her grandma.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, his hair's definitely stood out. I was like,
Yeah.
that
So it's
red.
yeah, the personality to match the hair color. Don't worry, for sure. Yeah.
Gotcha. But yeah, like being an older father, like or older father, I like to put it in air quotes. But like,
No, for
has
sure,
that
man.
taught you anything?
Yeah, it has. That was kind of by design, if you will. I was like, hey, look, I was very immature in high school and college, and I had to get a lot of things out of my system. And it was just kind of like I know I want to, do certain things. I want to travel. I want to, save a couple pennies, and then, find my much better half. And then I met Chelsea at 33, got married at 37, we had Harley at 39.
Gotcha.
And
That
my whole
makes
thing,
sense.
So I was like, I'm gonna get married at 40. That was my goal. But 37, all good, so close enough. But I wanted to get some of that stuff out of my system, and it was perfect. So I was probably just more mature at that point, right, to be a father and a husband, and then obviously. You learn so much, right? When you're actually doing it, of course. But I wanted to do that, and I think it's helped me out well in this situation. If I was 25, I can only imagine dealing with the situation. First out of college, probably don't have a lot of money, limited resources, right? I could imagine a young family dealing with the catastrophic news and this and that and so forth. So that would be really difficult. So
Okay, other
that would.
question is, what has marriage taught you about yourself?
To be totally selfless, right? To be selfless as possible, man, and happy wife, happy life. I know that term's overused, right? And continue to also continue to try, date my wife, right, and to have a great relationship and not just be roommates. And we have a really good marriage considering we've been through so much. It's made us so tight and kind of unbreakable, if you will. So I'm very fortunate for Chelsea and very blessed that she chose me, which sometimes I'm like, you sure?
I feel like every guy has that moment sometimes. You're like, you sure you actually want to be with me? That makes sense. Okay, and my final question for you is, what does it mean to be human to you?
Man, it's great one, Rashad. Great questions today. I think it's a lot more to being just human, right? I think we all have heart and souls. We also connect the ability does to use our intuition, right, to connect to a greater consciousness makes us obviously ability to be more just humans to be. So I think there's a lot to come there. I think that's also a narrative shift in the world as well. But I think being a human is leading with your heart and your soul and your mind, not just your mind, your ego, but really putting other people first and serving and helping other people. And at the end of the day, connect with everybody, right? Irrespective of circumstances and so forth, and try to help and support and be there. And I can lay my head down good at night and say, hey, you know what? I did my best. And I'm here for people and my family and friends.
Yeah. Hey, well, Curry, man, I appreciate you, man. I really appreciate this conversation. Really has been inspiring. The work that you're doing is simply amazing. And it's always a reminder to be grateful for people who are doing great things, regardless of being thrown their way. Seriously, like I mean that. Because that's a lot that I can imagine. And you're doing it with such a calmness in a way that I think a man should carry himself. So I really do appreciate it, man. For those who can find you on social media and learn more about all this great information that you're doing, where can they find you?
Yeah, absolutely. Come to our website, which is www.got, the number 4, tune, TITUDE, And we're on all social platforms at Got Fortitude, GOT number 4TITD. And Rashad, man, thanks for the conversation. Great questions. This has been awesome.
No, of course, man. Well, hey, all the information will be in the episode description. As always, guys, make sure to subscribe to the pod on your favorite audio platform and check me out on YouTube. And please check out Kirby's stuff, man, especially if you know somebody who's in need, especially when it comes to neurodivergency. I think this is a very important conversation, especially fathers out there who are really navigating this space. So make sure you check that out. Appreciate you guys. Been another episode of Knowing is Knowing. Until next time.